You're listening to Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Screen Heroes episode 124. This is our San Diego Comic-Con wrap-up, recap, talk, podcast episode. So, is there any non-SDCC news you guys want to cover? I guess I have to introduce everybody. Oh my god, I've only done this 124 times. I am Derek, one of your regular weekly hosts. I have my two other lovely hosts with me, Ryan.
Hello.
And Ray.
Sup, dudes?
And our recurring, returning guest, Ian.
It's been a while. Hi, everyone.
Ian is co-host on our web series, Costume Couture, with Ray.
Hi.
Hi.
Are you going to put chat ups?
I was going to.
Cool. Good to know. Well, you dove like head first in there, so.
I did. I'm sorry.
There's no diving allowed.
I just feel a little off kilter tonight.
Why?
I don't know. It's a fair question.
Would
you
like Ryan to hug you?
No, not right now. We're a little far from each other. It's
okay.
Are
you semi-dry like the champagne?
I am not. So here's the question.
Is it semi-dry? Is it semi-wet also?
I don't know. Ooh.
It's a glass half-empty situation.
Half-dry, half-wet.
Which one is the pessimism? Is the pessimism half-dry?
So is there any SDCC, other like non-SDCC news we feel like covering?
Demi Lovato went to the hospital for a heroin overdose today. Yeah. So not really movie or TV news, but kind of serious.
News. She was doing so well.
Yeah.
But people, you know, they have their ups and downs, and we wish her the best of luck and recovery.
Speak for yourself.
Dude.
Oh, shit. Of course, I think that I hope she does well. I don't really listen
to
music
or anything,
but, well,
you know.
Is there anything else that happened?
I mean, I'm sure there was some
I can't
stuff,
really think of anything.
Who knows? So, all right, well, we'll just jump in then. So,
yeah.
We are covering really just as much ground as we can. No, we're not going to get to everything, so if we don't touch on your particular fandom, I apologize. But let us know what excited you most by checking us out at Heroes Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, or Patreon. And actually, I'm going to take that as an opportunity to announce a change coming to our Patreon that I'm kind of excited about. So we don't talk about our Patreon as much as we used to, but we are deciding to spice things up a bit. So starting on August 1st,
live nudes from Derek.
No.
I was going to say from Ian, but...
No.
Too spicy.
That's for the $20 tier.
It's a spicy meatball.
That's not happening. So anyway, starting August 1st, 2018, if you're in the $10 tier or above, you will get exclusive access to our Patron Lounge channel on Slack.
Yeah.
And
it's buzzing. It's hopping. Come on in there. Join us and...
It's going to be a good time. You can talk with all of our hosts across all of our shows. We'll be in the lounge.
Any time of day,
you can talk to us, hop in there, say whatever's on your mind, talk about, you know, recent events and episodes and all that kind of good stuff. Just kind of a social spot for you to chat with us outside of this normal showtime.
So more
news on that is available at patreon.com/heroespodcasts, and we'll be rolling that out here in the next week or so.
Yes.
All right, so do you guys want to take this alphabetically, autobiographically,
chronologically?
What happened on each day?
Let's start with Titans. Because I feel like Titans...
That was the first one to release, for sure. So
we're
going chronologically.
Thursday morning, first thing. So maybe we should start with DC and just talk about Titans.
I say, yeah, because DC has the most in there.
It does.
Let's do DC.
Let's do DC.
Okay. Oh, before I go too far into this, if you're listening to this and you're confused, that's because we're cross-posting this episode on Red Shirts and Runabouts, our Star Trek podcast, because we will be talking about the Star Trek news that came out of San Diego Comic-Con as well. All right, DC, let's do it.
Okay, so Titans, the trailer dropped on Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
First thing, I woke up, it was already there. How'd you guys feel about it?
It's dark. Boy, is it dark. Like, I wasn't expecting it to be a TVMA program. I thought it was like TV-14. Didn't know it was going to be all that.
At this point, if you're going to be dedicated to a streaming service, I expect you to shoot for that mature TV rating because you're not on cable.
Yeah.
Just might as well, right? Even Star Trek's done it at this point. I mean, it was a fine teaser. It felt, you know, fine. I don't feel like it showed enough for me to really have much of an opinion. There's, of course, the...
It seemed very clearly that all the footage was taken from the first or second episode.
Oh, for sure.
There's not much more into it. It just felt really, I don't know, shallow in the sense of, like, there's not that much.
It reminded me of, like, a really, like, well-done, like, fan film trailer of someone's.
I don't know about that.
I actually thought that it felt like a fan film, too, really? For a lot of it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the effects are beyond what a fan film would do, but I was expecting more of, like, a CW-level show. I guess the fact that it was on a streaming service didn't really mean to me that it was going to be a mature show, but it seems like they're going for, like, Daredevil or Punisher Netflix, yeah. But...
Yes.
Man, they gotta get new writers, though, because some of that dialogue was pretty cringy. Like, sometimes I like the darkness. It's like, okay, Raven, we get it.
You know? I was expecting her to be a little older. She looks more like 14, 15. I was expecting her to be kind of like 18, 19. Yeah. I wasn't...
Well, they want them to be teens to start out with.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
The Titans.
I mean, the ages of them didn't bother me. They're like, they're just... I don't know. I have conflicted feelings about it. Because, you know, the big line that everyone's talking about is the fuck Batman line. And I think it's fine because... What live action Robins have we seen?
It's Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell and Burt Ward.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
The last one we saw was Chris O'Donnell.
And Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
But I mean, not one that you would take seriously. Like, none of those are to be taken seriously. And they clearly want this Robin to be somebody that can be on his own and taken seriously. And not a joke. Because Robin's been... It was like Aquaman from Super Friends, where he's the joke. Mm-hmm. Everybody makes fun of Robin. Everybody makes fun of Aquaman. So they're clearly going completely the opposite direction, just like they did with Aquaman.
Right.
To make him cool. And I think it's going to work for a lot of people, you know, whether the show is good or not. The costume is really cool.
Yeah.
I do really like Robin's costume.
Yeah, I do too.
I don't want to sound like the cliched fanboy. I don't like the way Starfire looked in this trailer.
Hopefully she looks
different. I've heard that she was, like, coming from a disco party or something in the actual show.
Like, okay, that makes more sense.
At a disco party. That's why she's wearing the specific outfit that she's wearing.
I don't like that. For some reason, her skin turns purple, which I never remember Starfire's skin turning purple.
I actually think that's just light reflection. Lighting, yeah.
Okay, and two, has she ever just like thrown just fire? Because I knew her to throw star bolts.
Her powers are usually green, and in this, they were
just like full on like pyro. So I'm like, where are her star bolts? I miss those. But the actress is really pretty. I like her purple dress and everything. It makes sense now that she's coming from a disco party because she does look. Of that era.
I mean, here's the thing. Everyone knows that I'm a pretty big defender of DC when we were talking on this show. But when you know you're going to be launching a trailer for your premiere cornerstone show for your brand new streaming service.
Yeah, the first trailer for anything on the streaming service, really.
And you're basically, this is, you know, CBS launched CBS All Access with Star Trek Discovery and paid $8 million an episode to produce that show. That was a $90 million season, okay? DC needs to put some type of that equivalent level of effort in.
Right.
And if you want people to buy into stuff, like we're pretty happy with how Robin looked overall, maybe you should show us other stuff that isn't necessarily from the first episode as quick glimpses. If Starfire's never going to look like that again, maybe that's not the one look you show us.
Yeah. Maybe they're saving up to, like, do a big reveal. I can see that, too, but...
And we've seen Hawk and Dove. Like, they've shown the costumes.
Right.
And those look cool, too.
They do.
I mean, I don't... The it's bird thing very, is a little weird, but...
It's very bothersome that they didn't do full costume posters for Raven, Starfire, and Beast Boy. And I think we'd all have much more faith in where they're going if we saw the end result of that instead of all three of them so far just in civilian clothes.
Right.
And
I think that's gonna be what they're mostly in, though. That's the thing. Like, I can see Raven mostly in civilian clothes the whole
time.
That's
Smallville, right? I don't want to see Smallville. I watched Smallville already, and
not all of it, though. I watched all of it.
Well, I have a lot of patience.
I have more, apparently.
I just needed him to become Superman at some point. Anyway, we don't need another Smallville. Right, I want to see them in costume. If Robin's going to be in costume on day one, then just let them be in costume
on day
one.
But here's the thing. He's been vigilante-ing, obviously, with Batman for a while, whereas the others, we don't know. Raven seems to be new to her powers.
Yeah.
Starfire, we don't know.
Beast Boy, we see, like, once.
We did see,
Hawk and Dove are costumed.
We did get a release of all the episode titles, and basically they're each named after a different character. And so, or characters. And so, you know, maybe that's when they get their big moments, but... Again, if this is your launch show, this is not going to be on the CW. You have to pay extra for this. It's not a lot. $7.99 a month or $75 for the whole year if you buy it at once.
Yeah.
But you still have to pay extra money. And so far, all you know you're getting is old stuff, this show, and Young Justice.
Here's the problem. DC has lost the majority of trust from their fans as far as anything on screen goes. We're all just kind of like defending them as much as humanly possible. Like, no, 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 wait, there's a gem here. Like, the CW is great and Wonder Woman was wonderful. And we're all just kind of clinging. And maybe fans, I know I am, I'm tired of just defending them. Like, put out your best work because you have some of the best stories and best characters in fictional history backing you up. Just put out your best work. Don't rush these things. So that's where I'm at this point. And I'll keep defending them, but I am getting a little tired of it. And lastly, if you're one of the assholes who bullied Anna Diop.
Oh, you saw that too? Yeah.
Then you need to go smash your dick in a freezer or something. Because, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, this she just quit Instagram, I think, what, today or yesterday?
It's one of the two. Fourth woman in the last 6 months who's been bullied because of a role she's played. Like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
People are jerks. It's you know, it's nothing new. It's nothing unique to DC. We've seen it now with Star Wars. We've seen it with plenty of other fandoms.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, Stranger Things. Like, it's across any nerd fandom that's out there. Yeah. There is no holier-than-thou fandom.
They do realize that she's, like, there's no orange-skinned people out there to actually play Starfire, right?
I mean,
like, they do realize
this. It doesn't really matter, right? Like, they're making it personal, and it's a job. You know, actors have jobs. This is their job.
And it keeps fans from giving legitimate criticism, too, because, like, I feel like I have to say a disclaimer every time I say anything about Starfire or Ghostbusters or these other things that have been, ridiculed, because I don't want to be in the same group as those people.
Right.
But I'm going to sound like I am just because I have a problem with something
about
the character.
I can't say anymore that I dislike Starfire's outfit in that one picture. Because it's been used so much against Anna at this point that it just seems petty. So I won't say it. I mean, it's done.
Yeah.
It's just not fair to her anymore. She deserves to live her life and get paid for a job. And I swear to God, if somebody came up to me tomorrow and was like, hey, do you want to play Starfire? I'd be like, fuck yes, I do.
Yeah.
And she probably did too, guys. So.
Yeah.
So that's Titans. I think we all hope it's good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, being the launch of this DC Universe streaming service, there's a lot riding on it. We've got Young Justice joining it, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. And Swamp Thing is another one that's in the works.
Let's just move and talk about Young Justice.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Young Justice Season 3, Young Justice Outsiders is what they're calling it. There was a long trailer that was basically a recap of
2.5 minutes of it or so was recap, which I actually welcome because it's been so long since I've watched season two that I had forgotten almost everything.
Yeah, no, it was definitely nice because I haven't watched it in a long time either. They basically showed everybody for the most part that we, you know, are going to be seeing in the first parts of the season, which it's weird. So to Ray's point earlier about DC needing to kind of get it together, I feel like they're bipolar because, like, this trailer showed off everybody in their costumes with their powers and things like that.
The animation department is clearly being run by different people. And, you know, they just lay all their cards out on the table. The animation department also listed out every 2019 animated movie that's going to hit. And I'm excited about all of them.
Yes. I cannot wait for those.
So it's just weird because they're both going to be cornerstones of this streaming service, you know, and they're going to be the main draw for people. I mean, look, we all love Batman the Animated Series, but I don't think any of us are going to pay $8 a month just to watch it.
No.
Right? So we want to pay that because we want to see the new content. We want to see these two shows. But yeah, I mean, it looked interesting. It was really just a bunch of action sequences and shots. It didn't give us a whole ton of information.
Yeah, I will say that I think that DC Universe, is that what this is called?
Yeah.
I think they missed the mark with where they should have gone to really draw the fans in, because Titans was cool. But the footage they gave us, like you said, they did not pick the right footage to show. I think you have James Wan directing Aquaman. You have James Wan producing Swamp Thing. He's a known horror director. You don't even have to do much of anything. Give us 30 seconds right? Mm-hmm. And show the silhouette of Swamp Thing at the very end of whatever footage you're showing, and here, let us hear the voice. And I think that would have drawn more hype than either of those two.
Do you guys remember trailers. SDCC in 2011?
No.
Okay. It's been a little while, but... They showed a 30-second appearance of just the word Avengers.
Mm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
People lost
oh,
their yeah. damn mind. Like, that movie came out in 2012. Well, 2011, they just show that and nothing else. At, like, you could have done that with Swamp Thing. You could have come up with some really cool graphics.
Mm-hmm. When they Nintendo did it last year. They had Zack Snyder read a part of the Dark Knight Rises, or Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah. It was the part where Batman is...
The, you know, you're my hand on your throat, and the time a mortal beat man me. Beat you, or whatever. He just read that. There was no footage, there was no anything. Yeah. And then they had a logo, I think, come up on the screen, and that was literally it.
The first Dark Knight teaser. Was the Batman emblem on fire, and you had Michael Caine's overtones, and then like a line or two from the Joker, right? Yeah. We don't need the big special effects. I don't want to have to worry about the arguments of the Jurassic Park door not being completed yet, right? Like, forget it, right? We just want to know that something's coming.
Yeah.
And not everybody reads the news as deeply as we do. So yeah, something just a logo with some cool plant effects or something would have been neat, right? Because most people our age or older are going to remember the Swamp Thing TV show.
Well, I mean, I see, my whole thing was that everybody's seen Young Justice, right? Everybody's seen Titans or some incarnation of Titans,
right?
Whether it's Teen Titans Go or Teen Titans. A lot of the people that the Swamp Thing TV show was not in their age range, right?
I've never seen it.
Like, it was like 70s.
I didn't even know he had a TV show.
It was pretty cheesy, but I feel like this is a fresh character, and it's from a director that's well known in the genre that Swamp Thing would fall into.
So is James Wan directing it, or he's just producing it?
Okay. I'm sure he will probably direct an episode. Right. But that's, you know, I think that would have given us more. Have a James Wan, like, have him sign off on this teaser, 30-second teaser or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And that would have given us, I think, more hype. Because everybody wants to hear the voice. Like, that's the big thing for Swamp Thing, right? Oh, besides his look,
I imagine they probably haven't cast him yet.
It's a 2019 release animation. They probably have. They're recording probably now.
Then that was a mistake. They should have cast somebody.
It's a TV show, though. It's not a movie, so they could start.
It's the guy who played Candyman, because he should do the voice.
Candyman.
But like, if they're looking for a fall 2019 release, they don't have to start filming until like May.
Depending on the animation.
Well, it's live action.
I thought Swamp Thing was animation.
No, that's the Harley show you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, is it live action?
Swamp Thing's live action.
Oh, okay, because I thought both Harley and Swamp Thing were both animated.
No, Swamp Thing's live action.
Because like Harley, they just released a logo and that was it.
I imagine there'll be some CGI, of course, with his abilities. I know they're going to do 100% practical effects, as cool as that might look.
Well, he doesn't generally look like a human. That's not a thing. So yeah, he's basically going to be Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
If it's true to the story, to the comic books.
I actually hope they do it kind of Arrow style, where he's already Swamp Thing, but we get to see flashbacks of when he was a normal
That's
human.
Not how they're doing it according to the
on
synopsis.
The island?
That's too bad.
Swamp Thing was on the same island.
It's actually an Abby Arcane show is what it is, and Swamp Thing is a secondary
That's
character.
Too bad.
That's the way they're doing it. I'm okay with it, because, I mean, it needs to have a human character
front
and center, and it can't be Swamp Thing. It's got to be Abby. Or, I mean, she's the closest person to Swamp Thing. It is kind of weird that they're calling it Swamp Thing, and she's the main character, but I think that calling it Arcane or something and having her do things other than Swamp Thing would be cool too. But
yeah,
but people wouldn't recognize it.
That's true.
You know, that's Swamp Thing still has name recognition.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And has devoted fans. You know, I just think that would have been a much smarter move for DC to promote their service.
I mean, they easily could have released some animatic logo stuff, you know. I was trying to say earlier, like, even Nintendo showed off a logo for Metroid 4 last year at E3, and it's maybe a 2019 game, right? So, like, you could have some logos together. And, you know, but that's that.
What about live-action trailers now?
So, is there any...
The cool thing about Swamp Thing is they did say that it's in its own universe.
Yeah, so everything in DC is basically in its own universe, so we have 17...
We're getting to 52.
We have 17 different universes I think we're up to right now.
So is it Titans and Doom Patrol are in the same one, and then Swamp Thing is in a different one, and then those two are both different from the Arrowverse, Supergirl, Black Lightning, and the movies.
Which, the Arrowverse has,
all the animated movies are connected too, by the way.
That's true. Except for the Killing Joke.
The Arrow universe has, I think, 23 different worlds that they've had characters onto, so you're already up to, 30 universes.
Maybe the Titans are on one of those.
Yeah.
So many.
That's true. I guess there could be crossover between one of the worlds they've already...
Yeah.
So while we're there, let's talk about Batwoman.
Okay, let's do it.
They announced, last week, or 2 weeks ago that they were going to bring Batwoman into the crossover. They announced at SDCC that they are going to have a Batwoman show, and it's probably going to be ready at the mid-season mark.
Really? I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're looking to launch it in, like,
casting,
January?
They're going to film, I think, this fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, I heard, so in the big crossover event, Legends is not involved this
Which,
time.
Which, if you've watched the recent season, it's fine. Like, it they're better sense. On their own.
Yeah.
They really are.
I think it just gets overcrowded at some point.
Yeah.
You know?
It was pretty overcrowded this last crossover, so.
The big,
The Nazi crossover, yeah. It was a weird one.
It's, you know, it's a common problem when you do the big team-up stuff. Like, it works in comic books, but, you know, on a TV, it's going to be difficult to pull that off. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see her. People who may not know that she's really fairly disconnected from Batman. Kind of not as disconnected as, say, Spider-Woman, but she's pretty disconnected from Batman.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see them bring her into the Arrowverse. Do we know that she's... So is she from...
I mean, she's in the crossover, so...
Right. But I mean,
we don't know that that she's on the same Earth, I guess.
Yeah, that's my question.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, they did confirm that she is out of Gotham.
So okay.
They have referenced Gotham in Arrow. But, I mean, there's probably a Gotham on Supergirl's Earth and everybody, you know.
Well, so she's I mean, I'm pretty sure Gotham was mentioned on Supergirl.
Yeah, it was also mentioned on Arrow.
But if she's going to be in the crossover, then she's at least, we know, in Supergirl or Arrow's universe.
Right, because how else would she cross over?
Right, because they haven't crossed right, over Black Lightning yet.
And Flash would go to a totally separate universe just randomly to get Batwoman. I mean, I feel like she...
No, I wouldn't say to get her, but maybe they end up somewhere and that's where she is.
I guess.
Right, yeah, that's all I'm saying. Like, we don't know yet. I hope that she's in the same universe as Arrow and Flash, because I think it is silly that the way they've separated the CW-verse, Black Lightning and Supergirl being in their own, I think is silly. Yeah. But, you know, hopefully Batwoman will be part of this one. I think it could breathe some new life into that universe that started to get maybe a little stale and a little off the rails.
Fans are a little bit concerned that she will not be an open lesbian, but how, as Ryan pointed out, that's the only adjective they use to describe her. Yeah. So
also, like, if you've watched the other CW shows, like, there's a running meme in the Arrow subreddit about Curtis and whether he's gay or not, because they constantly remind us that he's gay. Like, every single time he's on screen, it's something about him being gay, which is fine. Like, he's allowed to be gay, but I don't think it needs to be, like, you know, all the time that needs to be the main trait of his character. And I'm worried they're going to do that with Batwoman. You know,
they are really good about, can't think of her name, Supergirl's sister.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's a main plot point for a lot of the show. So, like, in the first season, I think it was done better. The second season, it's a huge plot point. So I didn't have a huge problem with it, but I don't think that that Batwoman's sexuality, I think it's important to the character, but not necessarily, like, something that needs to be a huge part of the plot.
Right. Like, her being a lesbian does not help her fight crime.
Right, exactly.
That's when she's dating Renee Montoya.
As cool as that would be, you know, I'm a lesbian, so I can punch harder. Like, I don't think that works. That's maybe.
It's like the vegan powers in Scott Pilgrim. Yeah. She has lesbian powers.
Yep, that's it. They nailed it.
Brandon Routh. I love Brandon Routh, by the way. I really do.
I just watched that movie, so it's fresh in my mind.
Great film.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so anything else for the DC Universe before we move on to the films?
Well, they're calling the films the World of DC now.
Yes, it's no longer the DCEU.
So is that... So is the... Is,
I don't know. It's
still
going to
be called
everything.
The World of DCEU by probably everybody. But
I think the Worlds of DC is supposed to be everything.
That's everything. That's
all encompassing.
That's animated. That's live action. That's comics.
Because the DCEU everything. Also encompassed everything.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So Worlds of DC, the DCEU has been rebranded. The Worlds of DC,
which I don't think is going to catch on.
I mean, it's not as catchy. No. That's for
sure.
It's
like the Marvelverse.
They waited too long. Like, I don't even think that Marvel named their cinematic universe. I think. People just named it, and they started using it.
DC, the like press named it the DCEU, and they just kind of rolled with it until...
Yeah, until now.
Yeah.
Apparently.
So, I mean, whatever. Like,
if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
So, I think we should talk Wonder Woman, because it was very small.
Yes.
Sure.
Their panel just had Gal, Chris Pine, and Patty Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
And they flat out asked Chris how he's coming back. He denied that he was even there right then.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not here. Well, what's been told is that Patty Jenkins said this is not a sequel to Wonder Woman. It is a standalone film.
That's weird.
Well, okay, so now hang on a second. I want to make sure we're very clear here. So that reads very differently than what she actually is saying. So it is a sequel in the sense that it takes place after the first Wonder Woman with the same characters. It is not a sequel in the sense that those two stories are not actually connected to each other. Like, it doesn't
follow.
Terminator and Terminator 2.
Right.
Right? This is more of
She's basically saying you don't have to do your homework prior.
Right.
You can just go in and watch this.
Exactly.
And that's fine.
So it's the same Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It's the same
Steve Trevor.
Same Steve Trevor, somehow.
I want to see Etta Candy there somewhere in the 80s. It'd be fun.
So I just want to make sure that that's clear, because she did say that she did use the phrase, it's not a sequel, but... I mean, it is a sequel.
It isn't. It isn't. It's weird.
It's the same Wonder Woman. I don't want anyone to think that this is somehow like a reboot or something.
No, I don't think that really Ant-Man and the Wasp, you needed to see Ant-Man. I think you needed to see Civil War. So
There you go. That's a good example.
That's true.
But we didn't get any new footage or anything.
They did show some there.
There was, yes.
They didn't release it online.
The mall scene. Apparently, I watched a lot of her running.
Yeah. It is, and she uses her lasso, and that's it.
There is some footage out there you guys can see of Kristen Wiig doing some stunts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, I didn't see that.
Yeah, you can look into that.
It's all wireless.
They still haven't revealed her look or
anything
like that.
Okay.
They showed one still of her still as
Minerva.
Yeah, Barbara Minerva. I think that's her name.
Yes, it is.
Nobody knows anything about Cheetah.
She is feline-like.
I would guess.
She goes meow.
Does she have fur?
In some incarnations, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she anything like Chitara?
So I think the thing I'm most More excited Catholic. About Wonder Woman is that it takes place in the 80s, and they showed footage at a shopping mall.
So
like,
in the
80s. I just want to see her. She apparently has high heels now in her costume, by the way. I want to see her with a fanny pack and big 80s hair.
She does have a fanny pack in one of her civilian costumes.
I don't want it. I want it in her Wonder Woman costume. I want her to pull her lasso out of it.
And be like, here we go.
Yep. That's what I want. Like, if that doesn't happen, Patty Jenkins, you have failed us.
No.
So I will say this. The logo for Wonder Woman 1984 and the...
Is that the official name, by the way?
Yeah.
It is.
That's so weird.
It's what they're going with right now.
If it does not parallel George Orwell's 1984, I feel like they're missing something.
Well, especially with the fanny pack, I think is more important.
Especially with the TV shot that they released a while back. But the logo for that movie, as well as the logos that Warner Brothers implemented on their social media for San Diego Comic-Con, make me so happy, because I feel like somebody finally has a little bit lighter sense of what's going on now, and are just gonna like Ragnarok it up a bit
between Aquaman, Shazam, and Wonder Woman. I feel like we're gonna have a happy 2018-2019. It's just
with
gonna
DC
be smiles,
for sure. Yeah,
right?
With DC
that 12
for sure.
months, the December to November, we get three DC films that are standalone films. That, you know, I think
are lighter in tone.
We will enjoy.
Yes.
So then let's talk about them. We got our first trailer for Aquaman.
Oh, it looks so good.
It looks fun.
I have to say one thing about the poster real quick, because this has been going around.
The leather pants.
As somebody who has to use this type of resource as my job.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Using stock images for promotional material and marketing material is literally what stock imaging websites and Getty are for. That's why they exist. So if somewhere you think they should have digitally recreated sharks or gone and taken their own pictures of sharks, I want you to think about if that was a good use of money or not.
And just for the poster.
It's a reshoot. What are we shooting? A shark.
Just one.
Where they could spend $15 a month for an account somewhere to get some stock photos of sharks.
DC probably spends $15 a month saying. For that. Like, not just James Wan or something. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So I don't, like, if that's a problem for you, I'm not sure. Like, they're probably not real sharks in the movie either.
Basically, across all these things that we've talked about for DC, has been a group of vocal people that just want everything to be bad.
Yeah.
And
it's frustrating, man.
Very.
Like, God, you're
going
to
pick
up Shazam
in, like,
for the...
We'll get to
Shazam.
But I mean, it's just like every time there's something.
They gotta find something. You can never please anyone. Which
you can
I
never just enjoy.
Which I get
what
that. But
out.
It's like, you gotta just nitpick that much from a trailer, from the first trailer too.
I feel like they really fight for it. Like, they're really looking for it. I think Amber Heard's hair is just a little too red.
I thought that too.
But she is a magical beast from under the sea. So who? Why
right, but
do
why
I
would
care?
Your hair be so light under the sea? I mean, if you're living so deep under the sea where the sun isn't penetrating, you'd have darker hair general.
I did like. There's a meme going around that I think is fun humor.
Is it the aerial one?
No, it's not. That's funny. No. No, this was. I'm really excited to see the sequel to Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Yes, that's true. It's, I don't know why they're not calling it that.
I thought that was pretty funny. So again, you can make fun of this stuff, you know, in a nice way.
But it looks good. I mean, Black Manta looks like he jumped out
that's
of the comic
book. That's
probably
the part I'm the most excited for is Black Manta.
I don't know King Orym, right?
Orin.
Played by Patrick Wilson, which he looks cool. I don't like him in blonde hair because he doesn't look good in blonde hair.
No, he looks weird.
That looks weird, yeah.
Yeah.
But Patrick Wilson is a very underrated actor. He is always in top-notch stuff. He flies under the radar, but he has never given a bad performance.
No.
And I'm really excited to see him up against Momoa.
I was happy about this film until I found out that Nicole Kidman was in it. Then I'm like, okay.
Her weird hands.
Yeah. She claps. Like,
I mean,
I don't like Nicole Kidman. I just think she's eh. But, I mean, I'm assuming she dies early on, so who cares?
Wow.
I mean, let's be real. Jango Fett is in it. Don't remember his name. Tamara Morrison. I don't know. He's in it.
Willem Dafoe is in it.
He is, and we saw him for like 2 seconds. But I mean, the whole movie looks great. James Wan, being a horror, you know, director, I wonder if he's going to put some scary elements into this, like some jump scares from like creatures or whatever. But...
I'm sure, like the creature looks are probably going to be a little bit creepier. I'll be shocked if we don't see some type of Kraken-like beast at some point in the film. You know,
well, they showed the model for this like giant monstrous seahorse thing that was really cool.
Oh, that's the thing that James Aquaman rides.
Yeah.
That's his new pet.
It is
I love
so
it.
Cool.
Yeah,
looking.
It's like a dragon. It's not even a seahorse. It's a full-fledged water dragon.
But there was like somebody's like using sharks as skis at one
I'm
point, which is pretty
it.
Sweet.
Yeah,
like that's pretty badass.
The whole of Atlantis looks very, you know, it's futuristic looking too. Mm-hmm. The Atlantis we saw in Justice League was very, you know, stone and kind of primitive looking compared to what this is.
Yeah.
So I like the two contrasting
things. I think
this is
like underwater Asgard, what they're trying to go for. You know, they still are dressing very primitively and medieval-like, but they have technology that far surpasses our own. So.
And that's usually what Atlantis is depicted as.
Absolutely.
Yes. Right? So like this is a very traditional look for Atlantis, in my opinion.
I also like that Jason Momoa, one of his armor pieces, we saw it on display in San Diego, has a midriff, and that is equality.
They did show off some cool statues of him wearing what, you know, people
his
are kind of calling his original orange costume. I thought it actually looked kind of cool.
It's like scaly. It's like, I don't know if it's like fish scales or whatever, but it's cool looking.
I thought that looked pretty neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed off the actual trident, not the current spear thing that he's using,
his
but the actual trident that he normally has. In the comic books, I guess, you know, once he reclaims the throne, that becomes his.
I think it's going to be a good film. It's gonna be a good ride.
I'm going to enjoy it. Aquaman and Wonder Woman are my favorite DC characters. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Now, I may be giving you credit when it's somebody else's. I can't remember, but I feel like you said this, where Aquaman is basically the same story as Black Panther, but opposite.
Huh?
Did you say that, or is that somebody
else? No,
that's
not me.
Okay, is that somebody else? So, you know, in Black Panther, right, there's the person who was expelled from their homeland.
Right.
And they try and come home to reclaim the throne, but they're the bad guy. Well, in Aquaman...
Oh, I see what you're... Okay, yeah.
It's not that crazy. I mean,
no.
Those two movies
no.
are sure, they're related, but that story's been done a million times.
Oh,
of course.
Right.
I just thought it's not something that occurred to me, and I just thought
it was
interesting when somebody pointed it out. That was all.
It is a nice juxtaposition.
Yeah.
And it kind of bookends the year. Black Panther was at the beginning.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And now
Aquaman's
at the end. Yeah.
I'm good with it.
Same story told from different viewpoints. I love it.
Now, Ryan, would you like to talk Shazam Gate 2018?
We had a big breakthrough this weekend in Shazam Gate.
It was food.
So, okay. So, yes, the Shazam trailer came out. And I think that we've been, you know, talking Shazam Gate and making jokes and discussing it all this time. But I think that the actual, like, public had no idea what Shazam was. And we all know who Captain Marvel Shazam
is. I still didn't know who Shazam was. I just knew he says Shazam and turns into Zachary Levi. That's it.
So,
in the
so they had a lot to do. They had a lot to do with this trailer, right? Like, they had a lot to prove, right? Yes. DC is already on the bottom right now, yeah, from everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
And if Aquaman trailer was meh, then, you know, they had one other trailer to convince people that maybe they're coming around. And, I mean,
it was fun.
I think they nailed it, but so obviously enjoyable. I'm a little biased.
I've never seen, I don't know anything about Shazam, but I feel like Zachary Levi portrays a good Shazam. I don't know.
I would say that's probably perfect casting.
I wouldn't have expected Zachary Levi to be in a superhero film, but, I mean, he looks good in the costume.
He was in Thor.
Okay.
For like 30 seconds.
Yeah.
He was in all the Thor movies.
Except for the first one.
He was not in the first.
He was not in the first?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Prince Charming was it.
Weird.
So, people who listen to the show know I'm a huge Zachary Levi fan. I love him. I love Chuck. I think he's great. So seeing him cast as a main hero was really exciting. And man, that trailer, teaser, whatever, was just so much fun.
Yeah. It was very lighthearted.
You know, so for people who don't know, like, if you didn't watch the trailer, Billy Batson is a kid. He is a 12-year-old kid who...
14
in the movie, yeah.
I'm sorry. 14. And he become, like, he doesn't become an adult. He just gets put in an adult's body. He's still that kid. He still, you know, has the personality and the emotional maturity of a child. Kid.
Yeah.
Right? And... I mean, Zachary just plays it off so well. He just, it's great. It's fun. I enjoyed every joke in it. Even though they said that the special effects for when he transforms is not finalized yet.
Which I don't get it because it looked fine. Really, yeah, I mean, people want to see a lot of lightning, and I get it. Like, in the comic books and in the animated, he, like, grabs people and says
the
word.
It always varies, you know? Right. The amount of how much hits him always varies.
But I love that walking scene where you see the transformation is...
Seamless.
They had to have that in the first teaser. Yeah. Like, it had to be there, and I was waiting for it, but it did not disappoint.
The actual part where he's getting off of the subway, so clever how to do that. He always just wanders into this weird cave, and like, that's not going to work. How are they going to do that? But the subway turning into this magical place.
Smart, yeah.
It was great. And those symbols, people are speculating that they are the seven deadly sins, because those become a big part of the mythos as well. So I'm all
And the villain in this is not Black Adam, but
no.
Bald Man. Another Bald Man.
Mark Strong.
Yes, him.
He's related. There is some relation between him, his character, and Black Adam.
Yes. I'm assuming he'll make a surprise cameo in the end.
I doubt it, but I hope not.
He's,
but give us some references. In
the credit scene,
well,
maybe.
I mean, he was cast
a while ago.
Right before after Momoa was.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's been a while since Dwayne has been cast, so it's very unlikely that he won't be referenced or appear.
Well, there's going to be. I mean, even in just this teaser, it was Easter egg after Easter egg. So I'm sure there's going to be
at least two or three.
I mean, just Mark Strong's character existing in the universe is a reference to Black Adam in itself. So
they're going to call it Kondok, and
and he already has the eye. I mean, which is a relation to Black Adam. So.
But that was definitely my favorite part of all of DC's presentation this year. Aquaman was a close second, so I think they delivered on the things they were supposed to deliver on as far as the movies go.
Yeah.
I wish they would have had a stronger showing for the TV, but I think between Titans and Young Justice, they kind of balance each other out, and at this point it's just a wait and see.
So I do want to ask you guys, as DC fans, who have been DC fans for a long time, if the Trinity in the DCEU is not the traditional comic book Trinity, and it ends up being Wonder Woman, Aquaman, and Shazam, because those are the three movies that do well in the movie universe, are you okay with that?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Yeah.
You know,
there'll always be Batman, but...
Look, the truth is that they tried starting with the original Trinity, and it didn't go so well. So, rather than, for lack of a better term, beat a dead horse, you know, maybe try something else. And if people like Momoa and people like Levi, then fine. Use them. Like, all I want is good movies. I want more of them. I want them to be somewhat connected to each other. They don't have to be buddy-up, team-up films all the time, but to know that they exist together. Like, in the Shazam trailer showing the newspaper with aftermaths from Justice League, the fact that, you're acknowledging that it exists in the same universe is all I need. I don't need to actually have Billy Batson watching it on TV, right? You know, but
there is the rumor that Henry Cavill shows up in the movie as a cameo. And there's some great in the comic books reference for, like, Superman and Shazam meeting up.
They have a really cool bond.
Yeah, they do. It's very interesting.
So I appreciate that stuff. I love cameos and acknowledgments to the extended universe. I agree with you. I don't think they need to heavily rely on it, though, when they have such good content.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Wonder Woman, which I think is objectively the best film so far in the DCEU, whatever, and it doesn't really have any of that. You know, it stands on its own. That's what it does, and I think it's important.
I mean, it does bookend with, you know, her talking to Bruce Wayne, essentially, and talking, you know, via letter.
I mean, yeah, so. But you don't see him. You're not, there's no Batman, there's no Superman, right? The point is that the film, as the story stands on its own, she stands on her own. I want Aquaman and Shazam to have the same opportunity,
yeah.
You know, rather than trying to shoehorn it in all together, because that's what BVS was. BVS was a way to shoehorn Batman in without him having his own story, because we've seen it a bunch of times, right? But we haven't seen Aquaman. We haven't seen Shazam.
Well, Shazam is going to have all those cameos basically via, like, Freddy is a huge fan of superheroes. Yeah, like, clearly. He collects merchandise from Batman, he wears shirts, you know, all these things. So, it's the perfect way to reference the rest of the universe, and it just happens to work great with that character.
Yeah.
So, I think that's going to be, it's going to be in your face, but it's not going to be in a distracting, in your face kind of way. It's going to be a part of the story.
So. Okay, so we should move on. Okay. We spent 40 minutes on DC.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to take a short break here, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about other SDCC 2018 news.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, guys. It's Derek of Red Shirts and Runabouts, the Heroes Podcast Network's dedicated Star Trek podcast series. Join us every Friday for new episodes covering everything from Star Trek Discovery all the way back to Star Trek the original series. We talk Star Trek news, review episodes, talk top lists like our favorite ships and characters, and we even pitch some of our own ideas, like what we think a Quentin Tarantino Star Trek movie could look like. So don't miss an episode by subscribing today. Live long and prosper.
All right, and we are back. So we are talking San Diego Comic-Con 2018. We've wrapped up DC. What would you like to talk about next?
I want to get some stuff out of the way. First of all, we don't really have to spend a lot of time on Buffy. This was a one-off remark that Joss Whedon made during the Dr. Horrible panel, of all things. He said he would like to reboot it or try it again with a black actress. This is, like, it's not in production, it's not casting, there's no script. This is just something that Whedon wants.
It's an idea.
He has also said that he wants to direct a ballet and do a sequel to Dr. Horrible, and we've seen how that goes. So let's not really focus too much on that. We can just move on.
Yeah, okay. Next, do we want to talk? I don't know, there's like five things on here that we should talk about.
There's a lot of stuff.
Good Omens released a behind-the-scenes trailer. Check that out. It's going to be on Amazon Prime. If you're a fan of Neil Gaiman, he is like on hands-on every single episode, so he's going to make sure that his work and Terry Pratchett's work goes really well. But you can see some of the cast, David Tennant, John Hamm, and Michael Sheeran, and it looks good. So that's done.
All right. Let's talk Disenchanted for a moment.
It's here. Called Disenchantment.
I'm sorry. Disenchantment.
That's the new Matt Groening one? Whatever.
It is. So they released the full trailer for it. They had a teaser before SDCC. Basically, yes, yeah, the creators of The Simpsons and Futurama, and he had said that, you know, Simpsons is present day, Futurama is the future, so for the third show, we'll go back to the past. I get it, that makes sense. So, did you guys all watch the trailer for that?
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts?
Laugh at all. Like,
that's a strong opinion.
I just didn't laugh, like, it didn't seem as funny to me, I don't know why.
I didn't really get much from it. Yeah. I don't know, I feel like I'm not the biggest Simpsons fan. I enjoy The Simpsons. When I catch it on TV or whatever, I'll watch an episode. Same with Futurama. I like the episodes of Futurama I've watched. I have not sat down and watched the whole series. I just think that style of art, it looks the same to me and as Futurama. It looked like Futurama in the past, which is fine. But I don't know. It doesn't really appeal to me that much. some of the humor was kind of funny. I probably will, like, watch it if I happen to see an episode on TV or something, but I don't think I'm going to seek it out and really look
for it. It's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then, yeah. I mean, maybe if I'm really bored one day, I'll give it a try and see how it goes.
If you're sick up in bed, you're just like, I gotta watch something.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm actually really excited for this. I think I am the target audience for this foul-mouthed female who should have ran from her first wedding.
And has powers.
And has powers. I do. I am a witch. I'm really excited for both new Netflix TV shows. This and The Dragon Prince both seem like they're right up my alley. So fantasy, humor, well-written stories. I'm all on board. I'll watch it. That's my opinion.
Fair enough. For people who don't know, Futurama is probably one of my favorite shows of all time. If you took Star Trek out of the equation, I love Futurama. I rewatch that show regularly.
It's Star Trek, Scrubs, and Futurama, guys.
Yeah. Futurama may beat out Scrubs, though.
I know. Oh. It depends on the day.
And to Ryan's point about the art, I mean, it basically looks like the TV movie Bender's Game when they do the D&D parody. I mean, it's the exact same kind of animation, right? So I want this to be great. It's got a lot of the same voice actors from Futurama. You know, some of the same writers are involved. I want this to be really good. I felt like the trailer just didn't really hit home to me. But again, it's a trailer, right? So maybe it doesn't, you know, have the right pacing that the show will have. So we'll, I'm sure, binge that pretty quickly when it comes out.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it because it's from the makers of, like, my favorite show ever. So
yeah. All right, cool. So Fantastic Beasts released their second theatrical trailer, along with a surprise cameo on stage with Johnny Depp in full character as Grindelwald. So, that happened.
Yeah.
It looks cool. I love Harry Potter. I love that universe. I grew up on it, so I can't wait for this.
I wish Johnny Depp wasn't involved for many reasons. I thought Colin Farrell did a great job, and if they just wanted to ugly him up for the role, that would have been fine for me.
It did seem like a strange, for those who haven't seen Fantastic Beasts, I apologize for the spoiler or anything, but it seemed like a weird switch for no real reason.
Well, he was in disguise.
I mean, I know. Sure, but
I know.
It's you just, can do prosthetics and you could change his eye color and his hair and stuff like that.
I don't know. I think I can't wait for it. I still like some of Johnny Depp's work, so I like him in more of the fantasy stuff. I know he does fantasy and stuff like that really well. So I can't wait for it.
I'm actually most excited for Jude Law. I think he looks like
sexy
a
sexy Dumbledore.
Right? Well, I mean, he's always been sexy to me.
Yes, true.
But now he's sexy Dumbledore.
And we get to go back to Hogwarts, too, which is very nostalgic for me. So I like that.
So I love Harry Potter. Okay? I've read those books 3-4 times each.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it bothers me a little bit that they've had to shift the focus, you know, away from Dumbledore. Like, he can't move on Grindelwald, right? Because, like, God forbid we see that battle on screen, you know? And
it's because he still has feelings for him.
Whatever. It's
they had a relationship.
They're not going to talk about it.
No, which kind of sucks.
That's the thing, right? So if they're going to ignore the relationship, then show me the battle. Give me something
that
was alluded to in the books. Don't just pass it off to your new star. Not that I have any problem with him, right? It's just that, like, that's not why I love Harry Potter.
Right.
You know, if you're going to show me Dumbledore, then just show me Dumbledore already, right?
Which I don't know why he's in, like, a suit coat and everything, which makes me, like, in the other Harry Potter movies, he's in, like, robes and very, like, wizard-like things, and this he's in, like, a tweed suit, and it upsets me.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious, like, when he went through some nervous breakdown.
Yeah, right? He had, like, a little hat and
flowy
robes.
I feel like
robes.
You guys aren't around old people enough. I'm around them every day, and at some point you switch from, like, jeans to a t-shirt to, like, cat sweaters. I don't know when that is,
happened for him, that's when it happened.
Yeah, gotcha. I feel like he hit 60 and stumbled upon a book about Merlin or something. Like, you know what?
Right?
This dude had it going on.
Yeah, so I'm gonna...
Or he read Lord of the Rings, and
it's like, this guy, this Gandalf man.
Now, chat has a question for us that I think would be interesting for us to talk about, and that is Walmart announced their new streaming service as well.
Walmart has a streaming service?
And I was curious.
Did they actually announce it, or is it, I thought it was just something like a reference to, it wasn't like, they didn't say we're coming out and doing a streaming service. Maybe I'm wrong, or behind the times, but there was something else, people were like, it sounds like Walmart's doing a streaming service.
I didn't hear this at all.
So I thought they were.
You've been able to rent movies online from Walmart for quite a few years now.
Oh.
Streaming service seems like a natural progression. It does seem odd because they don't have any original content to back it up. And that is, I think, what you need to start a streaming service right yeah. now.
Like, when you see a Walmart original series, it doesn't have the same ring. I don't like it.
It's not that I would have a problem with that, right? Because they have a fortune that they could pour into things. It's more of just, if you're not going to do that, I don't know how you compete with Amazon, Netflix, and Hulu, yeah. right? And, like, that's the thing. Every time someone has a new streaming service, I have to second guess it, right? I only pay for HBO when... Mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is on. I only yeah. pay for CBS All Access when Star Trek Discovery is on, right? Stars I paid for when Ash vs. Evil Dead was on. Now I'm not going to have it anymore.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a large enough library, like Netflix does, then yeah, I'm probably going to keep that all the time because there's always something to watch.
Yes.
But, you know, for another service from another big provider, you got to give me a reason to buy yours over somebody else's now.
And they do have a huge library. Vero or whatever, they own that. Which is a huge, I mean, if you buy a movie at Walmart, every single one has like a little Vero tag on it.
Not Vero. Vero's at social media.
Oh.
Vimo?
Vid something?
VidCon.
It's,
oh.
My God.
It's the digital service. I don't know. It's terrible. The app doesn't work very well.
Yeah, I've never used it.
Here's why I've used it. If you bought the BVS Ultimate Edition discs and you wanted to watch the Ultimate Cut of BVS, you had to use the digital copy, and that's the only app that it was compatible for if you didn't have an Apple product.
Shady.
So I had to use that to watch it the one time that I tried to do that, and it was a giant hassle. So maybe it's better now.
Anyway. In any case, it does give them access to a huge library of content that so a lot of it probably Netflix doesn't have or Hulu doesn't have, but there's definitely going to be a lot of crossover. So, I don't know, you know, is it going to be worth it? Is it going to be cheap? It would have to be cheap. I mean, Walmart, everything about Walmart is cheap. Like, that's yeah. their main principle. So, is it going to be $3 a month?
That's
if
the
it's
thing,
$3 right? a month, then maybe people are going to think right. about that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's the same price as Netflix, they're probably not going to be interested in that. You're not getting the same amount of content, the same library. So, I don't know. Yeah. I'm interested, tentatively, you know, kind of. I'll watch for news on it. But they did say in chat it's still just a rumor, which okay. is where I thought it was.
My mistake. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So moving on from Fantastic Beasts, we also had Godzilla King of the Monsters trailer drop.
They went balls to the wall.
They realized like... their mistake from the first one with not having enough monster like footage in it. So they're like, just this whole trailer's gonna be monsters.
What are you talking about? The first one was like all monsters.
Like, no, they didn't show hardly enough of Godzilla. Oh,
wait, which first one are you talking about?
The 2014.
That's
not the first Godzilla.
That's the first one in this series.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a sequel to that.
Yes.
Okay. It's not the first... Okay.
Okay, well, no, it's not the 1953 no. Japanese Godzilla movie.
Right. I'm just saying, let's be clear about which one we're talking about, because I don't want to confuse our very
Sorry.
Knowledgeable
it's a sequel
and
to
legal
the,
listeners.
To the 1999 one.
So this is where it gets really confusing, right?
The Matthew Broderick one?
Yeah.
The 2014 Godzilla movie... Left. The 2014 Godzilla movie is a pseudo-sequel to the original 1953 Godzilla.
Right.
So you could say that Godzilla King of the Monsters is the third.
It's a threequel.
No, it's the fourth, because Kong...
Yeah,
oh, Skull. I'm sorry.
That's true.
It's
yeah.
definitely connected.
You're totally right.
Universe.
Yeah, I am.
You like saying that, don't you?
I like hearing it.
Yeah.
Anyway,
So
Kong and Godzilla are going to fight in the next film.
Yes, King Kong versus Godzilla.
This one, you know, looks like Godzilla is going to go up against Ghidorah and Mothra at a minimum.
And Rodan.
Thank yes. you. Yeah.
The tortoise though isn't in it, which I'm sad about. But
well, that's because that's what the Earth is sitting on the back of.
Oh, that's just so. It's just him. It looks great.
Things written by
Vera Farmiga is in it, and I love her stuff.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Thank you. She's in it. Two or three of the original actors from the 2014 movie are reprising their roles in this one. It just looks really good. Like, it looks, when you see Rodan just flying over the subdivision and all the houses just go whoosh, like, it just shows the destruction. I love monster movies like this.
Yeah, this is a big one, right? This is, size-wise, is on par with something like Pacific Rim as far as, like, the
oh,
destruction
yes.
that they have to cause. Because these are super-sized kaiju, yeah. and there are no
You see Washington
mechs,
in flames in that scene. It's fantastic.
I feel like Superman should show up and level a city, too, just to show...
Look what I can do!
How damaging he is, too.
I just want to say that I want to see Godzilla, like, fighting Ghidorah or whatever, and, like, you know, not doing so well, and then all of a sudden, like... A giant metal fist comes in, and there's Gypsy Danger to help Godzilla. I want to see.
Oh, they're gonna say Mecha Godzilla.
So, well, that's fine. That's fine too. But they usually fight each other.
We built our own thing. We're gonna help out.
Mecha Shiva.
So that came out.
It's Sorry.
Oh my god.
I don't know what that is.
Venture Brothers.
Yeah. Oh, right.
It's like from episode 3.
Okay.
I can't wait for this. I love a big good monster movie, so it looks good. I can't wait for it.
I need this one to be good so they'll continue making the next one, because Godzilla and King Kong fighting needs to happen on screen.
It's in pre-production, so in theory they're going to continue with it. So, yeah. We don't. It's like a 2020 release.
So this comes out April 5th, first contact day for all my Trekkie friends out there. So
I don't know what that means.
It's the day that...
Get out.
Goodbye. So should we talk about the elephant in the room?
No, I think we should end on that.
We need to talk about that.
Though. All right.
What are we skipping? No, wait. We have plenty more to talk about. We're going over our normal time this week.
Okay, cool. So... while not directly happening at SDCC, this happened on the Friday of, and Disney announced that they have fired James Gunn. Wow. So, okay, so who else wants to talk?
No, okay. This weekend, some conservative Nazi asshole targeted many comedians, directors, artists. James Gunn, Michael Ian Black, Patton Oswalt, and Dan Harmon were specifically targeted because they are outspoken liberals. If you do not remember, a decade ago, the blue comedy was pretty hurtful, and they were all a part of it. They all made pedophilia and rape references that were supposed to be jokes, and they weren't. They weren't funny. They offended a lot of people. Now, normally... I would say, you said these things, you made your bed, you lie in it. However, every single one of these comedians has apologized mm-hmm. in that time, including James Gunn.
Yep.
In 2012. He publicly apologized just 6 months after the last time he had tweeted something horrible. So really soon after. He was hired by Disney in 2013, so either they did not vet or they didn't care. And now, because it may cost them a paycheck, they care, which is
bullshit.
Very hypocritical. And I appreciate all the people that have thrown their hats into the ring to support James. And on Friday, I was totally like, sorry, dude, you said some bad things. Thank you for your apology, but I'm done with you. And then on Saturday, when I was reinformed that he had already apologized, I quickly...
That's kind of how I was.
Yeah, I changed my mind. It's not fair. You apologize. We're supposed to be able to make mistakes and redeem ourselves.
Well, and here's the thing. Two things on that. One, there's a change.org, one of those petition things. Right now it has over 265,000 signatures to rehire him. Will that happen? Who knows? Probably not. But that's still a good chunk of people who, you know, believe in this man and want this to happen. Two, another point, you know, you say, you know, a decade ago this happened and then they apologized publicly. Look at Robert Downey Jr. You know, his behavior, he got arrested, what, multiple times for drugs, whatever, but, you know, he turned his life around, he apologized for it, and now he's one of the biggest movie stars that Disney has hired.
Well, that's a very different situation, because we're not talking about somebody who's self-destructive, right? We're talking about somebody who was saying things that
are... But it was still in the public eye.
It's not the same thing, though. You drinking yourself into a stupor and doing drugs and hurting yourself is bad, right? We don't want people to do that, but it is certainly not the same thing as trying to make fun of, insult, hurt, or take advantage of other groups of people and minorities in terrible situations, right? That's the argument here, is that that he was making jokes that are offensive jokes. And as somebody who is Jewish, you know, there are jokes like that that are not good, that do make me angry. The real issue here is that it was 6 or more years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And he did apologize and Disney hired him after. Now, whether or not it is okay that he made those jokes is not necessarily up for us to decide. The point is here about whether or not Disney really should have fired him over them. And that's where the hypocrisy thing comes in.
I didn't pull the trigger too quickly.
They did. They didn't really do any homework. They didn't really think about it. They just immediately fired him because some people on social media were upset. And now they're not going to be able to back down. Right? So if this was public and he had already apologized for it and they hired him after the fact, then at that point you're admitting that you're cool with that situation. Mm-hmm. And you just need to stick with that, right? It's happened recently to the creators of Rick and Morty, for example, and Comedy Central is standing behind them.
Cartoon Network.
Cartoon Network, I'm sorry. Cartoon Network. And, you know, each situation needs to be taken on its own in a different way. I know a lot of people are comparing this to the Roseanne situation, except that Roseanne was saying horrible racist things now in 2018. Some were jokes, some were not jokes. And, you know, that's a different situation. She never apologized for saying things she felt were wrong to say. She apologized for getting her crew and cast fired, right? But that's not apologizing for what she did right or wrong, right? James Gunn apologized, and Disney hired him after the fact. So this was Disney being bullied into
something. We have to remember that this nation was still pretty much okay with rape jokes up until Daniel Tosh said that he hoped a member of his audience was raped. And then everybody just kind of decided from then on that we weren't going to talk about that, we weren't going to joke about it anymore. But anything prior, that got huge laughs. That got these guys paychecks. So
it was a different time back then, too.
I mean, which is crappy. It's crappy to say that just less than a decade ago, that was acceptable behavior. And it is reprehensible. But these guys were getting paid for it, and it was hundreds of comedians. So James Gunn was not, he shouldn't be, I don't know if he should be singled out because of this.
Well, the big question comes down to the idea of mob justice. Right. So he was also his other project that he was working on just got canceled as well. I'm drawing a blank on what it was.
Oh, the one that was supposed to be announced at San Diego?
It was like a reboot of something old. Yeah. I can't quite remember now. That's been canceled now. So now we have a situation where, you know, he made offensive jokes that he apologized for in 2012. And now it's 2018 and he's getting fired left and right from projects. From a moral standpoint, I mean, what's the point that's being proved?
I don't know. Weaponized social media.
That's exactly what it is, right? These are targeted situations. This isn't Disney stumbled across it and felt like they needed to do the right thing. This is somebody who specifically wanted to hurt James Gunn for his political stance,
and they won
and did so. A person who, in my opinion, is significantly worse of a person than James Gunn got to win. You know, 2018 and 2017 has kind of been the year of the bad guys winning.
Now, right? Do you see Disney going, overstepped, we misspoke, no. We are going to
I do not see
rectify Disney. Something in some way. Maybe not hire him back as director, but rectify this into some kind How? Of capacity.
I would love that. I would love to see a huge company.
As an executive producer or something.
I don't see Disney making any public statements or anything. If at some point they hire him back quietly, I mean, maybe, right? Because he's still good at his job and they're still a business. But I don't think they're going to make any public statements about backing down or they were wrong or anything like that.
Well, because like all the cast, Dave Bautista is livid.
He's another employee.
Well, yes, but I'm saying, the cast and crew are very much behind James Gunn in this.
So far, Dave is the only one who really matters, who came out. Michael Rooker has been killed off, so it doesn't matter there. And I bet you anything, if James Gunn is fired, Sean will be out the door soon, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, worst case scenario, they don't make Guardians 3. Disney is not going to really blink an eye at that. It's one movie on a machine that makes billions of dollars a year, right? So if Batista wants to walk and Chris Pratt wants to walk,
can they walk though if they're under contract?
I mean, they probably owe something by breaking their contract, right, depending on what it is. But they're still human beings. They have a right to do that. There's a clause, right? Worst case scenario, Disney cancels Guardians 3. They've canceled millions of movies we've never even heard of.
Yeah.
Right? So
it would suck for the Marvel fans, but at the same time, I get it.
Ryan, you've been kind of quiet.
Just letting you guys talk. You have a lot to say about it. So, I mean, I think that anybody that knows James Gunn's career knows he came from Troma, which is a company that produced movies that were basically designed to be controversial and not just in politically correct ways. And those jokes that he made were not appropriate, but they were in character for the company that he was working for at the time. And like you guys have said, they should have vetted him more because they obviously didn't care. I do think that this sets a precedent that's a problem, which is that not only can you be fired for anything you say or do today, but you can also be fired for anything you said or did in the past, which is a pretty big problem. Mm-hmm. It really is. And I
It doesn't allow for forgiveness or redemption, and like we all grow and
no
learn.
And thank goodness that, you know, the worst thing when I was a kid was Zanga, or like, you know, I might have said some stupid stuff on LiveJournal or something, but
well, it's a slippery slope when you're dealing with Twitter, because we retweet things all the time. So what if something I retweeted in 2008 when I got my first Twitter account ended up being tweeted by somebody who at the time had a generic account but now is a white supremacist?
Right
Am I endorsing that person because I retweeted something from a generic account 10 years ago when I didn't know who the person was? Is that counting? You know, like, where does it end at that particular point? It's a complicated situation, and it's not something that we have ever had to deal with as a society, but now it is. It is being weaponized. There are services that you can buy that are very cheap. I was curious, so I looked into it for $20-$40, where you can mine thousands, tens of thousands of tweets from accounts and have a searchable database. Search for keywords, key phrases, whatever you want. So, all right. If you're out there and you hate a particular group of people, then you can spend $100 and find three people that are activists for that particular group you don't like and mine their social media. You know, that's not good. That's not what we're really supposed to be doing. And it's up to the companies, right? If Disney didn't care enough to do that in 2013, then it is silly for them to make a big deal about it now.
Or if they saw, and they saw that he did, you know, apologize and said, oh, this guy really is good, we're not going to worry about that, he apologized, he's, you know, we can tell, and he's going to be a good guy, and so, but they were backed into a corner for sure, and that's very hard to do for Disney, to back him into a corner, it seems.
I don't think they were backed into a corner at all. I think they just made a decision without even talking to anybody about it. They don't, like, well, just because the stuff comes out, they do have to make a decision on it. They don't have to do it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, they, but they with how everything is nowadays, they want to do it quickly.
I don't think that...
It was a snap judgment.
Yeah, I don't think there was a lot of people that would have been like, wow, Disney's hiring pedophiles and rapists to do their movie. Like, I don't think anybody would have been like that if they waited 2 days or 3 days to make a decision.
Here's the thing. The average blockbuster employs, what, 2,500 people? More, sometimes?
At least, right? Yeah.
Do you think all of those people are good people who have never done anything wrong? At what level of employee does it become okay to keep them employed? The best boys and the key grips, the caterers, the drivers, the assistants, the makeup people. Like, at what point is there a person who said bad things on a movie good enough to fire them? Or is it just the A-listers, right? Because that's BS, right? If that's all that it is. So again, there's no rules to this. That's why we have laws and we have courtrooms. That's what's supposed to handle laws. We're not supposed to have mob mentality.
Right. I just wish the best for him. I hope that, you know, he does land on his feet after this and something, you know, good comes of this. I know it sounds weird to say that, but something, you know, positive comes from this.
Be careful what you post online, people.
Yeah.
Not a new saying, but still relevant. All right. Star Wars.
Yeah! Yay!
Clone Wars is being revived.
I'm so happy. I cried during that trailer. Oh, it was so good. So, for those who don't know, in 20...
A long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, on a network far, far away, this was right during the Disney buying of Lucasfilm, and Clone Wars was on Cartoon Network. And after season 5, we're like, okay, cool, what's gonna happen? You know, 3 or 4 months later, boom, Clone Wars has been canceled. So we got a mini season 6 called The Lost Episodes on Netflix, which were episodes that were in the pipeline, ready to be released for season 6 that never did. So they released those, and they released episodes that they couldn't release for season 5, called it good. We didn't hear anything from that, and then they went and made Rebels for 4 seasons. They had recurring characters from Clone Wars come on that show, so we got our little fix from that. Some closed, you know, doors with certain characters, but the fans still wanted more. So finally, in the Clone Wars 10th anniversary panel, they said, we're coming back, we're doing 12 more episodes to finish out, give it a proper finale, and the crowd went nuts.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
I was surprised.
I was too.
I wasn't anticipating it.
No, especially after, you know, knowing that Disney very much likes to do, they don't like to go back with the prequel stuff, they like to continue forward. Or go in between the movies, not, you know, rehash, you know, prequel things. So that was a very, you know, surprising move on their part. And that, you know, a lot of these voice actors are, you know, coming back to voice their roles. and it's 12 episodes, so potentially they have 4 or 5 story arcs they can tell. And so I'm excited. It's going to be on their Disney streaming service, whatever that's going to be called, in 2019. So that's all they really have released of it so far.
Cool.
Okay. I didn't watch Clone Wars, so it's fine. I'm glad the fans are getting what they want, but I don't really have an opinion on one way or another.
I don't like Anakin, so I didn't watch it either.
He's good in this one, though.
I doubt it.
Good on the good side, or good like
acting wise? Yes, he's good. Like, yeah, acting wise, he's a very
when you're animated. It's
well, but still, you gotta act.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. So we're gonna wrap things up with Star Trek, which is my favorite.
And we apologize to the red shirts people that had to power through all of this.
Yeah, all three people that made it to the end of the show here. So Star Trek, CBS announced a bunch of stuff. We got nothing from Paramount. So nothing new about Star Trek 14 or anything like that. But we did get a lot of stuff from CBS. So first, they announced a new miniseries called Star Trek Short Treks, which will be 4 one-off 10 to 15-minute episodes starting in December that will dive deeper into the expanded Star Trek universe. We will get an episode that focuses on Saru, one on Tilly. Mudd will be back. Rainn Wilson is actually directing that episode, which is kind of neat. So we don't know the full scale of what those will cover, but it is the first time Star Trek has done anything like that. They've never done any web series or anything of that nature. So this is unique.
This is wonderful. This is something that the three of us have talked about Marvel doing in the past. We've talked about we've wanted to see things like this from DC. We have been proposing situations like this where we get to have a little bit more info about our favorite characters and favorite stories from the beginning. Like, so many situations where we were like, just 45 minutes about this character would be fantastic. And so, finally, some fandom is listening to this.
Yeah, it's a cool idea. As somebody who loved when Star Trek was in its heyday in the 90s and there were multiple shows running at the same time and movies that crossed over, it's cool to see the universe expand a little bit at a time when the TVs and movies are completely segregated from each other. So this, you know, there's more stuff in the pipeline. They've talked about things like animated shows. They've talked about other miniseries and things like that. So I'm curious to see what they come up with. But that starts in December.
Mm-hmm.
We got our first teaser trailer for season 2 of Discovery.
It was very interesting.
Showed off the new Enterprise uniforms, which are just badass. I gotta have one.
Ansem Mount is a perfect Pike. I don't really know too much about his acting. I skipped Inhumans.
He was actually pretty decent in Inhumans. Yeah. Like, as many bad things as I could say about that, he was not. There was no problem with his acting, so.
And he had to act pretty much silent the whole time.
Yeah, so. He had to communicate with his face and his, you know, acting and not his voice. So,
yeah, he plays Christopher Pike, who was the captain of the Enterprise during the original pilot of Star Trek. You actually would have seen him as Bruce Greenwood in the Kelvin timeline J.J. Abrams movies. And he's been played now. Ansem Mount will be the 5th actor, actually, to technically play Pike in live action.
And Rebecca Romijn is playing number one.
Yeah. Yeah, she's playing...
I almost said Stamos.
I heard you, like, yep.
Playing number one.
Yep.
Yeah, she doesn't have a name. She was never given a canon name in Star Trek, so I'm hoping that they give her one. And we'll get to see that. She was, of course, played by Roddenberry's wife, who played the voice of the computer in Star Trek up through Star Trek 2009.
And Nurse Chapel and Lexana Troi.
Who is one of my favorite characters in all of Star Trek. So she's got big shoes to fill, but it's really exciting to see that character again, since she was only literally in one pilot of Star Trek. But she was the first officer on the Enterprise in 1965.
The whole show was retooled because there shouldn't be a woman on the bridge.
Well, no. Uhura was still on the bridge. So.
Yeah, and instead of pants, she wore the shortest skirt ever and had really, you know, see-through nylons and said things like, "The computer, sir. Something's wrong with communication, sir." No,
you're totally right about the way she was dressed, but she had a very important role, and she had a lot of really cool things that she did on the original show.
I feel like she got the shaft.
OK, Compared to 2018, yeah, absolutely. But at the time, it was a big deal. So, I mean, anyway, we're getting off track here a little bit. So, saw a lot of stuff. There's a lot of interesting things going on here. Pike's going to take command of the Discovery instead of the Enterprise for a bit. And they're literally searching for Spock, which is hilarious to me. They showed off some new aliens. That looked really cool. And they're going to dive in more into the characters. We saw a better look at the Enterprise, which is beautiful. And it will come out early 2019. So, you know, we don't have an exact date yet, but it's one of those things that I'm really excited about. We're just getting more and more information all the time.
So I have two questions.
Yeah.
Because I don't watch it.
Sure.
So
ask away.
One, did I read somewhere where it's going to be on Netflix?
So it is on Netflix everywhere but the United States, and I believe Canada doesn't have it either.
Are we going to be getting it?
It's on CBS All Access, which is CBS's streaming service. And if you live in Canada, you can get it on, I believe it's Space TV.
I was watching it legally.
Please don't.
Two, are they going, like, is Spock going to be in it?
So,
what
yes.
What are you doing?
It is officially confirmed that Spock will show up at some point in season 2.
Okay.
We do not know who's playing him yet. Of course, a lot of people would like it to be Zachary Quinto because, you know, he's played him in the Kelvin movies and, you know, is relatively the appropriate age. But yes, we will see Spock.
And then did I also read where Patrick Stewart wants to do a cameo or is it... How'd that happen?
Okay. We already talked about this last week, I think.
Maybe in the week before.
Yeah.
So long story short, he was interviewed and asked if he watches Discovery. And he said, no, I haven't seen it, but I might have a reason to watch it in the future. And that has been taken to mean that he wants to return to Star Trek.
Okay.
Instead of that he has his Sunday nights free and would like to watch it.
Right. They're like, I'm coming off of a project, so I'll have some downtime.
Right.
May have been what he meant. But there's been rumors of there being some animated Star Trek, and the big rumor there would be that there would be a Star Trek The Next Generation animated series with the original actors being the voice cast. And the reason that that's a big rumor is because that's exactly what happened with the original series
right.
in 1972 and 73. Star Trek The Animated Series ran the last two seasons of the canceled original show with all of the voice actors returning the voice of their characters, and Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov, being a writer on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big rumor.
Okay.
Nothing is set in stone. I'm not
right.
denying that Patrick Stewart, you know, wouldn't want to do it. He loves the character. He loves what Star Trek stands for, you know, and things like that. So, you know.
If they could get Avery Brooks, they should do a Captain show. I would like that.
Yeah, I mean, that would surprise me. He wants to move on to other things, whereas most of the other Star Trek actors really love going back and talking about it. Which is why most of them still do conventions,
mm-hmm.
you know, without it being a special anniversary. So, you know.
Yeah.
So we had an interesting question in chat. Everyone knows that my big fandom is Star Trek, and I host Red Shirts and Runabouts, the Star Trek show on the network here at Heroes Podcast Network. But chat was wondering what you guys have as your fandoms, your shows.
What their favorite fandoms were, yeah.
I lifted up a sign that pointed to all of us.
Oh, that's what you were doing.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you meant that's just who we are, like what world we live in,
no.
Which makes sense.
If I know my friends correctly, Ryan's favorite fandom is Ghostbusters, Ian's is Star Wars,
yep.
Mine is Disney,
yep.
And Derek's is Star Trek.
Yeah.
We're well-rounded fans, so we love a lot of things, and there are second and thirds, but I'm pretty sure I got this correct.
I agree. With mine, at least.
Ryan?
I love Ghostbusters, but I would definitely not limit myself to that at all.
No,
I mean,
no,
I would say
limiting.
Star Wars is very, very close, if not right there, too.
Yeah.
I literally had every t-shirt I owned in junior high was some sort of Star Wars
shirt.
Well,
we didn't go to junior high together.
I know.
I mean,
explains a lot.
It was bad, dude.
It's
real
easier,
bad.
It's easier picking one of the larger fandoms, right? I mean, I have, in Star Trek, 13 films and 744 episodes,
yeah.
Let alone hundreds of books and comic books and video games and... You know, so, you know, when you have a smaller fandom, like, for example, Ghostbusters, you're a little more limited in the content.
Mm-hmm.
There just isn't as much, you know, so. But, yeah, so anyway, so lots of cool Star Trek news. We're getting a lot more of it. The cast is just great. They had a giant panel, and everybody was on it. And, yes, they will be continuing the story of Laurel and Voak in parallel to what's happening with the Discovery crew. They, you know, will bump into each other a little bit.
I hope he merges his name. He's no longer Voak. He's no longer Tyler. He's, like, Viler or something like that. Like, I just...
Well, his name is Ash Tyler and Voke, so he can go with Vosh, which is the name of a character on The Next Generation that Picard hooks up with.
Hot. Can Picard hook up with this guy?
It's a woman, though, but...
I'd watch that porn. this guy's hot.
Wilson Cruz, who plays Dr. Kolber, and the partner to Stamets, who's Anthony Rapp's character, said that he will be in season two, and he is not a ghost. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see how they work that out. And
I don't know what any of that means.
Science-y, timey-wimey, all of it, because that's what they do on Trek, so.
Oh, you said timey-wimey. Speaking of which, there's the female Doctor Who was at San Diego, too. That's a big thing.
They finally debuted a trailer with a few of her stuff in it, and that was big. A lot of people.
She walked the Her Universe fashion show, and it was really cool. So, that's a little tidbit. Sorry. Nice.
They also debuted an Iron Fist teaser trailer.
I was going to say, we didn't talk about Iron Fist at all. Yeah. There's quite a bit of information came out about
Alice
that.
Alice Eve is playing Typhoid Mary.
Yes. Typhoid Mary is so cool.
Traditionally a Daredevil villain, so that's interesting. Because there's a story arc in the comics where Iron Fist actually takes over Daredevil's, like, takes his costume and acts as Daredevil for a while.
Interesting.
So I think that would be really cool to see in the Netflix shows. I don't think that's going to happen, but because it's a Daredevil villain that they're introducing, it's kind of a...
In all fairness, he hasn't even gotten his own costume yet.
Well, but in the trailer, they did show him wearing the traditional costume, though it was speculated that it's for a specific scene and not... It was like Luke Cage when he wore the tiara and then, you know, it was like a specific flashback or something along those lines. But they also gave us a release date, which I don't know the exact date, but it's sometime in September, like the 23rd or something. Soon. So theoretically, we could get 4 seasons of Netflix if they go every 3 months, which is what they've been doing. We got Jessica Jones, we got Luke Cage. This will be September, Iron Fist, and then Daredevil season
in December.
In December, it'll be probably December or January, likely,
That's
Punisher
how it should be.
March or April. So. Yeah,
like I
they're filming Jessica Jones right now for her season. So
I know it's so weird to say this because like they've spread them out by years now, but it just makes so much sense. They only filmed 13 episodes instead of 20, and the CW films like 5 shows at the same time. So I really feel like this is how it was supposed to be, but they just wanted to make sure everything, like all the balls were rolling. So
I agree. And to Ryan's point, like, you know, this being a Daredevil villain, I mean, they released like 4 stills, high-res stills, and in one of them, Misty Knight's in it.
Mm-hmm. Well, they actually released one with the Daughters of the Dragon, with Colleen Wing and Misty Knight.
Well, but Colleen's in Iron Fist. Right, that's true. I meant more of the crossover from a Luke Cage character. Right. So,
if you want to know what's going on in the shows or what to expect, you should look to the comics. They just rebooted Daughters of the Dragon in the comics for the first time in like 30 years. Yeah. So that is...
And they really heavily hinted at it in Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm. I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah,
I would too. And the great thing about Netflix is that whether the Disney streaming service or whatever comes out, they have control of these characters. That's the agreement. They can keep making these shows as long as they want to. I don't think they could, like they added Punisher. I don't think they could just add more characters willy-nilly.
Well, it seemed to be that Disney's stance was basically if it's mature rated, it's staying on Netflix.
Yeah.
And so if they're ever going to have, for example, a Blade.
Or Moon Knight. Yeah, or any of the ones that fans have been really wanting.
You know, those are going to be Netflix characters. You're not going to see Blade on Disney Channel. It's just not going to happen.
I'm Blade. Welcome to Disney Channel. And then he does the little...
sword. It's just not going to happen. And I think that's smart. Because obviously Netflix has proven that they are able to handle this type of show and this type of connected universe. No, it's not all been perfect. The Defenders season didn't quite live up to our expectations, and the first season of Iron Fist was not great. But more often than not, they've done a very good job. And, you know, bringing in some more, you know, adult characters, I think, can help expand them. That way they can give breaks to characters that maybe the stories are starting to get a little thin. You know, they've learned now they don't have to put all the weight on Daredevil's shoulders, right?
Although he is probably the most successful of all the Netflix characters. Yes. So, I mean,
he didn't have the advantage of starting it off, though.
Also, season 2 was pretty much equally as good as maybe slightly not as good. I mean, they were very close. The seasons were both good, so it's, you know, it has that going for it.
So
we also got an Alita Battle Angel trailer, which I just want to touch on because Derek and I were very excited about the first one. I don't remember if
that movie
looks
so weird.
People have a problem with the Uncanny
Valley
thing,
anime.
But I haven't watched the anime, but I'm still very excited for the movie. It looks different. It's James Cameron, and that alone gives me a lot of confidence. Robert Rodriguez. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of names attached that are people I trust, and the story looks interesting. So, I mean,
you have Christoph Waltz and Mahershala Ali, two Oscar winners, and just that's all you need to
know. The combat looks like cyborgs fighting, which I think is super important in a lot of movies. Don't do that right, but like the movements are very stiff and precise. It's not like humans fighting, right? You're not watching a kung fu movie, and they really showed that in this trailer that it was not. Did you watch this new trailer?
I did.
Okay,
it did. And I mean, I was stoked when I saw the first trailer. This one just got me more interested and more excited for it, which is good because sometimes seeing too many trailers starts to water things down, and I feel like they stepped it up a bit.
The CG looked different too and better. I think they definitely are still improving it.
The animation and the live action portion of it looked seamless. I could not tell. It wasn't...
Man, there were a couple points where it was questionable for me personally, but I mean, once you're in that world, like, I'll be fine with it at the theater, but watching it on, like, my computer screen or something, there was a couple points when it looked a little wonky, but...
I'm really looking forward to it. I love weird sci-fi.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm a big fan of Blade Runner, for example, and this has a lot of, you know, those dystopian undertones, but also some just kind of uniqueness to it with the way she's animated and the rest of the cyborgs are animated. And
well, one of the best sci-fi stories out there that great writers are recreating over and over is this android, is this cyborg human?
Like, and that seems to be a big theme of this too, which you've watched anime, so you would know better than I would. I got that vibe quite a bit from this trailer and the previous trailer, so I'm definitely excited about that movie and looking forward to it. I'm
glad we're getting more really footage. Redeem Ghost in the Shell.
I feel a little bad for it because it happens to be releasing at just like this terrible time.
Yeah,
it's releasing with Aquaman, Bumblebee,
Mary Poppins.
There's another movie, Mortal Engines,
which I'm also excited for.
Yeah, like December is stacked with movies, and
we gotta be broke.
I hope people don't miss this one. This is unique. This is different. This is something you probably have never seen before, unless you've read the manga or watched the anime. Like, this is new, and I hope people go and give it a chance. So.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I hope so, too. I mean, it looks unique and different, and I want to support that.
Absolutely.
Sure. Also, James Cameron brings in money all the time, so it's going to really surprise me if this one's not successful. But
I mean, think that's why they mentioned his name, whereas in the first trailer, they didn't.
Yeah, he didn't.
I mean, think about it, right? Like his movies, don't like his movies. Like him, don't like him. You can't say that he makes poor technical films.
Right.
They're all incredible. He invents new technologies just to get it to look the way he wants. And, you know, this type of animation style with live action hasn't really been done before. You know, CGI is usually done to look as real as possible or to look just completely fake, and this is not like that. This is different, and I'm really excited to see the final product when the special effects are truly done on the big screen.
Yeah, agreed. I think that's a good place to stop. SCCC was packed. There's still like a ton of stuff out there. Stan versus Evil debuted their third season trailer.
Supergirl had another trailer.
Arrowhead theirs.
Tons of stuff. Go just spend like 3 hours on YouTube. You'll get caught up.
Just like watching basically stuff.
But
that's going to be it for us. We are Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can join us live Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 Central at twitch.tv/heroespodcasts or at Heroes Podcasts on all of our social media outlets. Ryan, where can people find you?
Buster Props, get your Shazam stuff from me.
That's please. Right.
I need money.
Yeah.
I'm broke. Money. Just kidding. I'm not really broke. But please buy it from me anyway.
Fair enough. Ian, where can people find you?
I need money too, so find me on Grindr.
Grindr's free now. So.
Well.
Or is it?
But Ian's not free. Yeah,
I'm not. You can find me at House of Turner Cosplay. You can find me with this lovely lady hosting Costume Couture. That's where you can find me.
I am Siren Ray. I am a cosplayer. I am currently revving up for my Kickstarter, which starts in 6 days. I'm very excited. It is for my pinup calendar.
It looks so good, guys.
Thank you so much. Donates $5. Get a calendar. Do that. Thank you.
And I am...
That's my TED Talk.
And I am the Star Trek Dude on Twitter. You can find me on Red Shirts and Runabouts, our Star Trek podcast on Fridays, or Gamer Heroes, our video game podcast on Wednesdays, which comes back next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks to everybody who has chatted with us tonight.
Midnight Pearl.
Midnight Pearl especially has been very involved. Thank you. Thank you to our Patreon contributors, our top three, J-Blood, Doc Rev, and Trackboy. Thank you guys very much. We truly appreciate it and love you guys. We will be back. Are we back next week?
We're back next week.
Do you know what we're talking about?
No, give me a Cloak and Dagger.
Is it Cloak and Dagger? Yeah, it's
Cloak and Dagger.
We're reviewing season one of Cloak and Dagger. So go watch that.
Like we will. Finish that.
Binge. All right. We'll catch you guys next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.